Welcome back to the Forward Marketing Podcast. I am excited about our episode today. I'm your host, Joshua Jarvis. And just want to say, I really appreciate all of the emails. In case you want to email me, it's joshua@forwardmarketing.com. The comments, some of these are great. They've created some really great discussions, sort of, I mean, they're online, but it kind of feels offline because it's not, you know, not happening on the website or anywhere else. So I really appreciate just you guys going through the effort of reaching out to me and giving me some feedback. And if I could make a special request, especially if you like this podcast, is to share the podcast, rate it, review it, particularly if you want more people to know about this podcast or you want it to continue. One way to do that is to make sure you're subscribed on iTunes. And that's really one of the best ways to sort of reward me, if you will, and kind of encourage me to keep doing this. So without further ado, hope you enjoyed last week's episode. We interviewed Dan McGaugh, no R, and he gave us two growth hacking tips. In fact, the more I review it, what I was calling lead generation, the marketing world calls growth hacking. And so the more I review that, I think, wow, this is, I think we may be onto something here. I really get excited about lead generation, get excited about growth hacking. And so that is what we're going to cover today in a roundabout way. So today's episode, we've got five marketing things that you think work that don't. That's five marketing things that you think work that don't. And this came from a study that AppSumo did on their own research. They did their own research on themselves on things that did not work. And then what I did is sort of cross-reference that with other things to see if this was sort of systemic. Is this something that's is wide? So as we get into these, you'll see what I'm talking about and it'll make some sense. So one of the first things that does not work, that almost everyone I know does, is drip emails. Now, I know that you've heard the advice that you need to do more emails. I know for a fact there are programs out there that talk about putting people in your funnel and making sure that you email them. What I'm talking about very specifically is not necessarily the concept of drip email marketing. You know, drip email marketing, for those that are unaware, is basically where you send an email in a consistent sort of fashion to someone, and typically speaking, you're taking them on the path. It could be a drip email campaign that educates the customer on how to use your product. It could be a drip campaign that welcomes you to, you know, as a customer. It could be a variety of different sort of email campaigns that you could do. You know, it could be a part of the funnel process. You send them a series of eight emails followed up with a sales response. Now, for the most part, not every case is like this, but for the most part, when people talk about those kind of emails, they're talking about a very specific targeted email that was handcrafted and tested over time. And when you hear a Jeff Walker course, for instance, and he talks about his email sequencing, there is a reason and a design behind it. And it has something in common with the solution to this problem. But just in case, so to reiterate, the drip email concept isn't necessarily the thing that's broken. It's the way that you're writing your emails that's actually broken. The reason why this isn't good is that anything that looks like an automated email at this point in time in 2018 is probably not going to be read. Anything that looks like a welcome email, anything that looks like it's part of a sequence, is not going to be read. What you need to do is that if you're going to continue to do drip email marketing, is that you've got to get very conversational. You need to start really strategizing these emails so that even though you're sending them in a sequence and it is automated, that they are in a created in a conversational sort of way so that people can engage with the email versus forcing it on them. I'll give you a good example. When I was in real estate, I did this amazing like 30 email sequence for brand new home buyers. It walked them through the entire process of home buying, included looked like personal videos that were set up for them. And what I found was that as soon as people realized, which is about the second or third email, As soon as they realized these emails were automated, the engagement dropped off. And I was not able to get them back. In fact, the part of what I was trying to do was really just to add a lot of value to these home buyers by walking them through the process, basically giving them a preview of our buyer consult. But what actually happened was, is they realized it was automated. They didn't feel like it was personal, so they disengaged, and so my engagement rate just dropped. Like, it went through the. In fact, there was one video that I mistakenly put up that I made a mistake, and I was like, in the video. And so it was one of those takes that I just forgot to delete, and it got posted instead of the actual video, and no one noticed. So, and not even my team. And so what's the solution to these kind of emails? So the bad news is you're probably not going to be able to walk your customers through a lot of different things. But there are some solutions. So I'm going to give you kind of two solutions for you. So for those people who are really bummed out, they just found out your drip campaigns are not going to work, and you were like, oh no, this changes everything, I am toast. No, what you should do is, if you've got a walkthrough process, send an email that says something like, subject line, save this email, you'll need it in the future. And then have a list of the things that you wanted to walk them through. That way, they'll save the email. And then they can go back through those very helpful links. But the way to sort of replace your drip marketing process is really to consider the broadcast model. The broadcast model basically does not necessarily mean that you have to give up automation. What it means is that every week, if you're on my email list, you'll get the update of when the podcast goes live. So I send you an email, hey, this week we're doing this, here's the show notes, here's the link to iTunes. So every week I do that. That's called a broadcast. And so I could set that up to where it's automated. So when it joins, if I knew that they joined on episode one, then I could send that automated out. But it's a broadcast. It's something they can expect. In real estate, for instance, agents send out new listings. That's really essentially a broadcast. If you're in financial planning or mortgages, for instance, you could talk about the interest rates. If you were in anything, there is news that's happening that you can broadcast. You can broadcast about your products and services. You can broadcast about the news. You could broadcast about anything that you could have been doing in a sequence. You can change it into a broadcast model to where it's almost like by going and being overtly marketing based that you seem more authentic, therefore people engage more. The other tip I want to give you is be conversational in all of your emails if you can, and drop the explanations. That's how people communicate. So you want to communicate the way that they communicate. And finally, there are other things that you can do to sort of supplement this process. So dripping, the idea behind dripping, which is staying in contact, is supposed to help you be consistently following up with people long term. So it's supposed to keep your email list or your customer database much more active and engaged, because you're touching them on a more frequent basis. So what you need to do is actually come up with things that you can touch them with that they actually want, and they actually, not that they actually need, but they actually want. So like I said, real estate's an easy one. Most people want to see homes and or they want market information. So you could update them with that. If you're in another industry, that version of a market update is probably very useful. If you're a financial planner, there's no reason why you wouldn't, at the very least, do a monthly sort of update on the market, stock market. Here's what's going on. Let me reassure all my customers that I'm doing all the wealth management for. You guys are safe. You are safe from this current storm. Or here's what to expect. So you could use it in that sort of way. And you name a business, whether it's e-commerce, whether it's a software as a service business, or whether it's a service-based business, you could all do market updates or sort of a here's what's going on in the industry as it relates to the customer. So you could talk directly to the customer. And if you've got products or software as a service, for instance, you could do a highlight. Highlight the ways that you could, in fact, all businesses could do this now that I think about it. You could highlight ways to use your business in ways that maybe people haven't thought of. You could tell customer stories and testimonials. These could all be automated and but they feel completely different than the welcome, than the sequenced email. They feel a lot better. So, and if you'll notice, like even Jeff Walker, and I'm referencing him, but he's one of these sort of funnel guru kind of people. Product Launch Formula, I think, is his product. And if you look at what he's doing, a lot of the same concepts apply. It's just that the email thing that looks automated, if you're going to go automated, then make it marketing based. If you're not going to go automated, you then look at the broadcast model where you broadcast it. So anyway, that's a slight tweak, but it's anything that feels like a sequenced automated message is probably not going to get read. I mean, that's the basis of why drip email marketing does not work. Your second one is your basic landing page with an offer. And so this is one of those sort of important moments that if you remember sort of sales 101, you don't sell the offer, you don't sell the product, you sell the benefits, you don't sell the features, you sell the benefits of those features. And it's, so it's very specific. And so when AppSumo did this, what AppSumo does is they sell all these different internet tools and resources. And what they noticed was simply saying that you're getting 30% off of this particular tool was not enough. People were like, okay, and big deal. But when they went into the product, what actually sold was going in depth, writing a 500-word post about the product and actually writing about the benefits of the product. Meaning, so when they, one of their most successful ones was a stock image subscription. And so what they did is they said, you'll never be without needing another image for your content again. Now that you've got this repository, the cheapest it's ever been, it's not going to last long. In fact, the last one sold out. So if you, when you make your offer, yes, it needs to have the offer itself and it needs to say, hey, there is a scarcity mindset on the whole thing. But what you need to do is actually go into more depth and talk about the benefits that they're going to get. It's not, I don't hire a real estate agent because I need help finding a home. I'm hiring a real estate agent to streamline the process, to reduce the stress, to save more money. In fact, that's one of the biggest benefits of a real estate agent, and that's the one that most agents should be using to close a deal. Financial planning doesn't necessarily... I don't care about all the tools that you use. I care about having enough money to retire on and that I don't outlive my retirement. There's a bunch of different versions of this. This is sales 101, marketing 101. So I'm not going to go into too much detail. Something else that does not work is instant pop-ups. So we've talked about drip email marketing where you need to make a tweak to that. And then also really caring about your message when it comes to the sales page. So it's two parts where you've got to be really intentional. And pop-ups are no different. I don't know how many people have tried to put pop-ups on it and it didn't work for you, and you were probably really frustrated. You say, all these people talk about pop-ups, and I just hate them. Yeah, everyone hates pop-ups, all right? So the instant pop-up makes your site kind of feel like one of those sites. I won't talk to you about what I'm actually talking about, but let's just say that if you were going to visit some sites that were maybe disreputable and you wanted to visit them in incognito mode, the instant pop-up is something that you might see. All right, so what's the solution to the pop-ups? Why, if pop-ups don't really work, how do you get around it? Well, pop-ups do work. That's the reason why people talked about them. It's the instant pop-up. It's the instant in-your-face marketing that doesn't work. People want to engage with your products, your services, who you are, the voice of your brand before they give you emails, before they give you anything. It just makes sense, but that's where the world is going. It's where customers are going, is they want a little bit of engagement. Now, not a lot of engagement, but the instant pop-ups are a big turnoff. The solution is literally waiting 15 seconds. So just like these other two tips I was giving you, it's not that the actual concept, the overall strategy doesn't work. It's that the tactics don't work. And so the tactic of it being an instant pop-up doesn't work. Another solution to the instant pop-up is the exit pop-up. Someone's getting ready to bounce from your page, meaning leave your page, and you display a pop-up. So, and usually the pop-up has to be associated with some sort of offer to get them to engage with that. So a pop-up saying, put your email in here, is it going to work? You need to have some sort of compelling offer. A lot of the quote-unquote funnel gurus, if you will, all their techniques are based on the sort of this simple process of doing freebies and giveaways. So you need to think about what your audience would want for the pop-up to actually work. That's one area where I struggle in. I kind of give away all of my information. So the idea of having a freebie for you to download is hard because I'm giving the information away. And so I've got to work on that in my personal case. If you were to visit my site, it's definitely that cobbler's shoes mentality. But when it comes to these pop-up offers, you really want to think about what's something of value that people would want. Checklists are great. Secrets are great. Something that's going to help them save money is great. Access to content. So in keeping with that, this week I'm going to give away my sort of freebie content is going to be how to optimize your LinkedIn profile and actually do one of these, the technique that Dan gave last week. So he was talking about how to literally leverage LinkedIn, and that's actually how I got connected to him. That tip is going to be my freebie going forward, and I'm going to be testing that out so you guys can kind of walk with me through this whole process. So the other thing before I forget, with these pop-ups, you may be saying, well, how do I implement the pop-up? How is this going to work if I wanted to try to do this? There's two really easy ways to do this. AppSumo has a sort of a sister company called Sumo, and you can install that plugin if you have a WordPress site. The other one I recommend is Thrive Themes. A little tongue twisted on that one, but Thrive Themes has a pretty cool option there for you to have different pop-ups, and you can control that there. So you can do the 15-second wait, you can do the exit pop-up, and you can do a bunch of other cool stuff. All right, so number four is doing your own creative. Now, so unless you are a designer or a copywriter, you really need to outsource this. And I get it. If you are a company and you're bootstrapping, or you're a solopreneur and you don't really have the funds, I've been there, done that. I totally get it. A lot of the stuff I do, I sort of violate this principle. I've done it myself. But I can tell you, when you hire a professional, things look completely different. And a lot of entrepreneurs make the mistake of trying to do the design and doing all these elements themselves, and it doesn't have a cohesive voice. And that's really the danger of this. So how do you solve this problem? Well, I could tell you just to hire someone, and that would be an absolute fact that maybe you should hire someone. Maybe you should outsource this. You can go to sites like Upwork. You can go to different places to get logos designed and other creatives. But that can get pretty costly too. Like if you're thinking about over a year and you wanted a custom blog post cover for each one, and you did a blog post a week, you know, it's 50 plus images that you need to have customized for yourself. So that could create a problem. So what's another solution for that, especially for you sort of bootstrappers? Well, let's just use the templates. Yes, I get it. Using templates is pretty boring for you. You engage with the template. You're like, everyone has it. The truth is that no one will notice, or no one will care. I love the stories of the entrepreneurs that use the same marketing technique, the same branding over and over and over again for years before they ever even addressed it, and it was always successful for them. In fact, I know a real estate agent here locally that used the same exact flyer that he copied. He basically created a Word document, printed it off. He used the same flyer over and over again. I think it was for a year and a half or 2 years before he ever upgraded to a template design. And it didn't really change the overall conversion rate of his mailing piece. And same thing goes for a lot of other businesses I talk to. It's if you see a template that works, or you see something that works for you that's a template, use it. Same thing goes for, for a lot of the ads I run on pay-per-click. The wording is pretty much the same, change with brand names and city names. And so templates work. Things that are out there in the wild that people like already work as inspiration. It's absolutely something that you should be doing. You should not be doing this yourself unless you are gifted in this area. And so my first four tips, all of which just require you to be a little bit more intentional about your business and really sort of trusting that you don't need to be super, super creative. You just need to be a little bit more intentional and authentic in your business. And so number five is kind of a little different than the others in this sense. And it's going to be number five is hiring based on need. So a lot of entrepreneurs, remember, these are mistakes that people make. They make the mistakes of just sort of doing a generic drip email. They make the mistake of, and they, a lot of businesses use the boilerplated drip campaigns that come with their CRMs. Another mistake is creating a basic landing page with an offer and assuming it's going to work. Another mistake is installing an instant pop-up and thinking that that's going to work. And then the other one I mentioned was doing your creative yourself. This last one is hiring talent based on need. So the entrepreneur's journey, if you read E-Myth, you kind of know this journey really well. It's the roller coaster of being an entrepreneur. You work, you work, you work. You lead generate. You've got enough business. Now you need to hire someone. It's absolutely the worst time to hire someone is when you need them, because then everyone looks really, really good. Like, I need help and I really don't care. And I've been there. I've done that. I've hired based on need. It's the worst hires ever. I forget what the study says, but basically every wrong hire can cost you. Oh, I mean, it literally depends on what you spend on training. But in the real estate business, it could cost you $60,000, $70,000 easy. And it's going to slow down your momentum. You're going to have to train. You're going to have to rehire. It's going to sort of ruin what could be, like, one hire could literally ruin a profitable year and one bad hire. So don't hire based on need. Hire based on talent. And what I mean by that is that if you see someone that you should always be looking. One of the number one roles of an entrepreneur is basically as soon as you have a business and it's profitable, you really need to be looking for talent. You should always be on the lookout for talent. This was a great story in the AppSumo thing where he grew this business and hired 14 people and it started hemorrhaging and he couldn't really figure out what it was. Pared it down to the four best people in the company and turned it around. And that's why a lot of times what happens is these companies, they get kind of bloated with people who aren't productive, and then they have to make cuts. And unfortunately, the cuts they make, like IBM recently sort of outed a bunch of people, the cuts they make, they have to cut even deeper than they normally would because they overextended themselves with people who weren't talent. Maybe they're talented in one area, but they're being misused. And I would just say that everybody has talent. That's the saying I would say is that everyone has a talent. But they not all are going to fit in your business for that particular purpose. And so you should always be looking for talent. And that's the number one. You can't grow a business without people. I mean, ultimately, you can only do so much yourself. And a business really isn't a business until you start hiring people. So look for talent. Get help in that area. Hiring someone is a completely different skill set than marketing your business. So just like you, as your business grows, you're going to want to hire professionals that specialize in that. That should be something that you should look at as well. A lot of times what I found is I can get a lot of great advice from HR people and recruiters on the process of hiring. A great book that can help you through your first hire if you are a new business owner or sort of a solopreneur and wanting to grow your business is Entree Leadership by Dave Ramsey. He kind of goes through his talent process of interviews. And frankly, you need to create a series of hoops someone has to jump through, because there's really two characteristics that you want to hire for more so than anything else, and it's attitude and it's also their sort of the work ethic. Those two things, I will take someone who's completely unskilled in any industry that has a great attitude and work ethic, and I will put them to work. In fact, this is actually what happens a lot of times in parts of Eastern Europe and other parts, where basically the attitude and the work ethic is what's needed, and they learn the skill because they've taught themselves English, for example, makes them super valuable. In fact, if you go back to one of the earlier interviews, we interviewed a guy named Igor, and that was his story. Is he learned English but he had a great work ethic and a great attitude. And so they were able to move him around the company in a bunch of different ways. And so, like I said, you hear that story a lot in Eastern Europe. So that sort of concludes our five sort of marketing tactics that you're probably doing and you shouldn't be. Just as a recap, we talked about drip emails and how the concept, the strategy is works, but the way that you're probably implementing this, the tactic that you're using, is not going to work. And that the solution to that was really think about a broadcast or a conversation. The other thing we talked about was a basic landing page. We talked about how just creating a landing page, sort of boilerplating that, talking about the offer, sort of this, the template, like the lead pages, for instance. Lead pages is great, but it's going to require your effort. Or if you use, ClickFunnels is really popular today. If you use that one, then it's going to come down to you describing the benefits. We talked about instant pop-ups being a no-no, but a 15-second wait can make all the difference in the world. And then the exit pop-up is also a great strategy. We also talked about doing the creative yourself. Shame on you. You should not be, you're not a logo designer. You're not a, unless you are. And so therefore you should be hiring that out or using templates that are out there. There's no shame in using templates. Most people won't notice. And if they do, they're probably like you. They're another entrepreneur who noticed it, but your customers 99% of the time won't even notice. And then number five is not really a marketing tactic, but it could be if you hire a marketing person, and that is don't hire based on need, hire based on talent. And the two things you want to look for are a great attitude and a work ethic. So that concludes the episode for today. I hope that you enjoyed this. I have another episode lined up just for you about LinkedIn next week. So if you ever wanted to know how to optimize your LinkedIn profile, one of the most overlooked business-to-business opportunities on the internet, then that's what we're going to talk about tomorrow, is how to optimize it so that you can be found by the people that you want to be found. So this is going to be great. If you know someone who is looking for a job, connect them to the podcast next week. Share it with them. This could really make a big difference for them. If you're just looking to connect, that's what we're going to talk to about next week, how to grow your list. In fact, how I grew my list from zero listeners, being nobody, coming out of real estate, to over 10,000 people, I leveraged LinkedIn. And so next week's episode is going to be really good. And I would love to get any of your questions at joshua@fordmarketing.com. That's the number 4, rdmarketing.com. And you can catch us online at fordmarketing.com/podcast is where all the show notes are. And as like I mentioned at the very beginning of the episode, the best way to say thank you, Josh, the best way to give me any praise, if I could just ask you this one favor, is that you subscribe on iTunes and leave a rating or review. The better I get on iTunes, the more people who can listen, the more often I'll be able to, or the longer I'll be able to do this podcast. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll catch you next week.